Let us talk with God once more in prayer. Let us pray. Let's pray for family, for friends. Let's pray for the church. Let us pray for our nation and the people of the world. Let us pray. You have been very good and kind to us, O God. And we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love that rests upon our lives, giving comfort to our hearts, peace to our minds. We know that even when other people disappoint us, you never will. You understand things perfectly. And what you decide needs to happen in this world and in our lives is good. We thank you that you teach us that and show us the proof of it day by day. But some of our friends and family do not know this or find it hard. Yes, we too know that there are times we find it hard. But you call us to trust you. Will you not call them to trust you too? Will you not help them to see how good you are? Will you not help them to know the joy that belongs to all who believe in Jesus? To know the joy of forgiveness. To know the joy of being loved by you. The joy of knowing that their future is in your hands for good. But as we think of our family and friends, we especially think, O Father, of those who are sick. They're not well. Make them better, Lord, we pray. For those that are away and travelling, those who are looking for work and are finding it hard, those who are trying to bring changes about in their life, we pray that you would keep them safe. Give them wisdom, show them the right choices to make, and help them to do so. We pray for this country. We thank you for the peace that we know here, and the freedom, the safety. We pray for those who protect these things, for those in authority, the Prime Minister and the government. Help them to do things well. Help them to be kind and good-hearted towards people, especially to new people to this nation, strangers who need help. Help them, O Heavenly Father, to be good to the peoples in other lands as well. But, O Father, we know that what people need more than anything else is to know about Jesus. We pray for those who take the message, the good news, the gospel of Jesus to other lands. For those who live in other lands that might be our family, may they hear about Jesus as we hear about him too. Hear our prayers as we pray for one another, as we pray for this church, as we pray for the English classes, and the Sunday school, as we pray for understanding, as we think about the reading from your word now, help us to learn more about your forgiveness and how we also ought to have a heart wanting to forgive others and ready to forgive. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, our story is about the servant who did not forgive. Who did not forgive. In our reading, there's a word that kept coming up, and that is the word debt. What is a debt? Debt is something we owe to someone else. Maybe you have borrowed a lot of money, and you now owe that money back to another person. I wonder if you have owed so much money that you began to think, how can I ever pay it back? What does that feel like, to owe so much to someone else? Now, as you think of that, think about what it might feel like if that person you owed this money to said, you need to pay now. I want my money back. And if you don't pay me, if you don't pay me now, I will ruin your life. I will make your life very miserable. But what if that same person then said to you, let's just forget all about it. From now on, you owe me nothing. It's all gone. It's all forgotten. How would that change the way you look at that person who took away that debt, took away that what you owed them, who forgave that debt, forgave what you owe them? Because that's what forgiveness speaks about. Surely you would be very thankful for that person, for being so kind and so generous. But there's another question we need to ask. How would you feel about other people who owe you something? Will the way that you look at them change because of the wonderful kindness someone has shown you? Do you think you could be kind in that way? Would you be willing to be kind in that way? That's the question Jesus is getting his friends to think about when Peter asked him a question about forgiveness. As I said, forgiveness is about taking away a debt, cancelling a debt, removing it. Someone has not treated you as they should. They have hurt you in some way. Maybe they've said unkind things about you or even to you. Maybe they cheated you. Maybe they've not kept their promise to you. They've not given you or treated you or showed you what they should have. They owed you truth or kindness, thankfulness, loyalty, fairness. But they have not treated you this way. Peter understood that when someone sees they have not done what they should, or they have done what they should not, they should come to you and say, sorry. That God wants us to forgive them when they say that. That we should say something like, thank you. Now that wrong is no longer between us. The debt is cancelled. You are forgiven. Peter understood that. We should forgive people, especially if we have known God's forgiveness. But Peter had a problem. He wanted to know how often he should do this. What if that person I have forgiven in this way, they've come to me, they've said sorry, and I have forgiven, I have taken away that debt, what if they do that wrong again? And they come and ask for forgiveness. How many times do I have to forgive them for the same thing? Or even for other things that they have done wrong against me. How many times is enough? Peter thinks that seven times is more than being kind. is more than being fair. And he wants Jesus to say, I agree. But Jesus surprises Peter, I think. And I think if we think about it, he surprises us as well. When is it too much? Jesus says, not 7 times, but 77 times. Or it could be put this way, 70 times 7. And we hear that and we think, Jesus, you must be joking. That is so unfair. But don't misunderstand Jesus. Jesus is not saying that you should forgive everyone whether they are sorry or not. No, as Peter shows here, forgiveness is given to those who come back to you and say sorry. They've now come once and you've forgiven them. Twice and you've forgiven them. 7 times and you're still forgiving them. And Jesus says, keep going and keep going. No matter how many times, be ready to forgive them when they say sorry. Peter understood that God's forgiveness is only given to those who do that, who see that they have disobeyed God, failed to please him in their life. They owe a debt of love, a debt of obedience to God. And now they come to him asking for forgiveness because of Jesus, and God says yes. All that they owe is returned back to zero. The clock has returned to zero. Nothing is gone. And Jesus is saying also that when God forgives you, the next time you sin is now the first time. And he is saying to Peter, that's how you are to forgive others. They come having hurt you. They say they're sorry. You forgive them. They come a second time. No, says Jesus. It's not a second time. It's still the first time. Because you've set the counter back to zero. If you forgive, you don't hold it against them. You cancel the debt. It's taken away. So each sin is the first sin once they have been forgiven before. Now that's a little bit hard for us to understand. So Jesus tells the story of a king with 2 servants who owed money. They had a debt and they needed that debt to be forgiven. The first servant, we read, owed a very, very large sum of money to the king. And I mean a very, very large sum of money. Jesus tells us he owed 10,000 talents. 1 talent was a very large amount of money. The king, during the time in Israel when Jesus lived, his name was Herod. And in Herod's kingdom, he would get an income of 900 talents, not even 1,000. So this 10,000 talents is more than 10 times the money that Herod would receive as a king from across all his kingdom. So if we think in today's money, we start to think not just in millions of dollars or billions of dollars. I think we're right to start thinking of trillions of dollars. It was so much money that no servant in any ancient kingdom could ever be able to repay. He had nothing to repay it, but the king said, I want my money. Pay up. The only thing this servant could do was to ask the king, to beg the king, give me more time. But even if he had more time, he would not be able to pay what he owed. It was just too much. What he really needed to ask was the king to be kind to him, to have compassion, to cancel, to forgive the debt he owed him. And Jesus tells us that this is what this king did. He could have sent the man to jail. He could have sold everything the man had, put into slavery all his family to try and get back some of what he owed. But he didn't. He forgave the debt, every bit of it, nothing to pay, nothing to do. All is gone. It's all over. Can you imagine how that man must have felt? How relieved, how full of joy it must have made him. I'm sure that he would have gone out celebrating the king. You know, we got a great king. A wonderful king. And he would have gone out feeling very happy about his future life. And that's when we read the next part of the story. Here we read about the second servant. This second servant was seen by the one who had been forgiven such a massive debt. And he also owed some money, but he owed it to the man who had just been forgiven. How much did he owe? 1,000 talents? No. 1 talent? No. He owed 100 denarii, which is a much smaller amount of money. It's about 4 months' wages for a worker. We might think today, 15,000, maybe 20,000 or $30,000. That could easily be paid back over time. This servant is met by the servant who had just been forgiven much, and he grabbed this guy and says, "Hey, I want the money you owe me. Pay up. Pay up now. I want it now." And we are surprised and shocked by how he treats this second servant. There's no generosity here, no kindness, there's only cruelty. When the second servant asks for time to pay, he knows that with time he can pay. But the first servant does not want to give him time. He wants his money, and if he can't have it, he will use every force of law to punish the guy. And so he threw him in jail. And his family. He would not have mercy on him. He would not forgive the small debt. Jesus is saying he could not even pass on a little bit of the relief, the joy, the hope that he had received when the king had forgiven his debt. He had been forgiven so much, yet he was not interested, and he could not and he would not forgive even a small debt against him. What he had experienced made no impact. It didn't change how he saw others or how he treated other people. Now Jesus goes on and tells us that other servants saw this. They knew what had happened to the first servant. They saw what he then did to the second servant. And they went and told the king. They said, this is not right. It's not fair. And when the king heard it, he became very angry. So angry that he changed his first decision. You see, the king was angry because he had forgiven the servant who now could not and would not forgive. And so the king said, well, if that's how you want to treat others, that's how I will treat you. And so to jail he went. And his family was sold into slavery. This is not Jesus agreeing with slavery. This is Jesus saying, those who know God's forgiveness ought to be thankful and ought to want to show that same willingness to forgive to other people, especially other friends of the King, other friends of God. Jesus is saying that all people are in debt to God and that there is no way we can pay our debt to God. Sometimes we think that going to church a few times, living a good life, doing the right thing, doing some good for others, that this will balance out all the wrong, remove the debt, take it away. Given enough time, we can push it all away so that God will not be angry with us. But Jesus is saying that is to misunderstand our debt, our problem before God, how great it really is. And that with time we are actually increasing our debt to God. For we're not honouring God as we should. We're not as thankful as we should. We do not love God as we should. We do not put God first in everything as we should. We do not obey God. We don't even want to find out what it means to obey God. We want to do things our way. And so we keep making the debt bigger and bigger. Our only hope is not doing better things and being better people. Our only hope is if God is merciful. If God forgives us fully and for free. And that's what Jesus came to make possible, and which is now promised to everyone who believes in him for it from God. Jesus is then saying to all who do believe in him, who know God's forgiveness of the debt of their sin, the wrongs and hurts of their life against God and against people, that they should of all people be ready and willing to forgive anyone who comes to them and asks for it. In fact, we should want them to say sorry, encourage and help them to look for and receive forgiveness from us. You see, that is why Peter's question is really wrong. It shows a problem in Peter's heart and in the heart of many people who say that God has forgiven them. Do we really know what it is to be forgiven all our sin by God? I mean, really how wonderful it is because of how horrible our sin is. And that the only way for it to be forgiven was for Jesus to pay the penalty for us, for dying for our sin. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin is that bad, and Jesus' death is that amazing. And so is the forgiveness that Jesus brings to us when we ask God to forgive us. And as God's children, those who believe in Jesus, we ask that every day because we're not perfect. and God forgives us because of what Jesus did for us. But Jesus also says here that the joy that that brings should be so real and so full that it pushes away holding grudges, remembering the hurts of others against us when they have said sorry, wanting them to know the same joy of forgiveness, that we will even go to them and say, "Do you know what you are doing and how you have hurt?" But you know, as soon as you put a number on how many times you do that, as soon as you speak about having to do it, wondering how often you have to do it for someone, then you have a problem with forgiveness. You are showing that you, like Peter, have a problem in your heart. You have a problem about how you see yourself, and especially how you see God, with knowing his forgiveness and how great it really is if you have received it. Peter thought of forgiveness in terms of rules, Jesus in terms of love. Peter was using the mind. Jesus asks, "But what about your heart?" And Jesus is asking the same question of each of us tonight. Do you know God's forgiveness? If not, there is plenty here in this story to encourage you to turn to God. He is a God who has provided for forgiveness through Jesus, and as you ask for it because of Jesus, you will receive it. Now, if it is true that you have from the heart asked God to forgive you all the wrong that you've done against him, the debt of love that you owe, the debt of disobedience that you mount up every day, if you know God's forgiveness, Jesus is saying, how will it show in your life towards others who know God's forgiveness, and even to those who still don't know it? So that's the story that Jesus told of the two servants. It's the story of forgiveness. It speaks to us of God's forgiveness and asks us, do we know it and will we show it? Let's pray. Oh, our God, we thank you that you are a God who forgives, who loves to forgive, who sent your Son to bring about forgiveness in the lives of people, young and old, people from all over the world, that Jesus' death upon the cross was to pay the debt that we owed because we did not know you as we should, love you, obey you, and because we actually did things against you, against your kindness, against your mercy, against your goodness towards us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that with Jesus, forgiveness can be found for each person who trusts in him and asks you for it because of him. We pray that everyone here will know that you will help them to see how big a debt they have with you, and that you are ready to take it away the moment they believe in Jesus for it. But help us also to see that if we know that forgiveness, that we are to become more like you, that we are to be ready to forgive, wanting to forgive, busy in forgiving, and unafraid to ask others to forgive us. We pray that there would be more forgiveness known in our lives and in this world, that we know it will only happen as people learn about Jesus, trust in him, and follow him. So hear our prayers for that to happen. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.